pray with me. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are indeed the one who strengthens us, the one who saves us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A pastor once made an investment in a large piece of ranch real estate, which he hoped to enjoy during his years of retirement. While he was still an active pastor, he would take one day off each week and go out to his land and work. But what a job! What he had bought, he soon realized, was several acres of weeds, gopher holes, and rundown buildings. It was anything but attractive. But the pastor knew it had potential, and he stuck with it. Every week, he'd go to his ranch and crank up his small tractor, plow through the weeds with a vengeance, and then he'd spend time doing repairs on buildings. He'd mix cement, cut lumber, replace broken windows, and work on the plumbing. It was hard work, but after several months, the place began to take shape. And every time the pastor put his hand to some task, he would swell with pride. He knew his labor was finally paying off. When the project was complete, the pastor received a neighborly visit from a farmer who lived a few miles down the road. Farmer Brown took a long look at the preacher, cast a longer eye over the revitalized property. And then he nodded his approval and said, "Well, preacher, looks like you and God really did some work here." The pastor, wiping the sweat from his face, answered, "It's interesting you should say that, Mr. Brown, but I got to tell you, you should have seen this place when God had it all to himself." I want to talk today about responsibility, but we have to begin, I think, with the idea of privilege, because the two go hand in hand. There can be little doubt that we live in a privileged nation. There can be even little doubt that we live in a very privileged part of that nation. And in the past few years, we've been hearing a lot as well about the privilege that we, those of us who are white, have because we're white. And yet, even with all of that privilege, we have people who are poor. We have people who are hungry, people who are sleeping and living under bridges. We have people who are homeless. In this nation, in this area, among white people, as well as among minorities. People are working one or two full-time jobs, but still cannot make ends meet because they're only making minimum wage. Especially because around here, everything is so expensive. Think about it. Morristown is a well-to-do city by most standards today. And they have a soup kitchen that serves many meals every day. And because of the need, I took 12 turkeys and a ham to the Market Street Mission last Sunday, and another one was delivered here in town to feed people who are hungry. Some might say that those people need to move to a lower income area where they can make their money work better for them. But they still have minimum wage jobs. And if they continue to keep those jobs, then they have to pay more in order to get to work. If they didn't do those minimum wage jobs, we would be upset because who would flip our hamburgers at Burger King? Who would shuttle us to the airport? Who would wait on us in restaurants and grocery stores? We want the privilege, but with it comes responsibility. God needs hands and feet and mouths to get the job done, just like God needed the farmer to get the ranch in shape. And Ezekiel is very clear about the responsibilities of the shepherd. In verse 10, the author father talks about the shepherds not doing their job. They are enjoying the privilege, but they're not taking care of their responsibility to the less fortunate, to the marginalized. Now, we need to be clear about who the shepherd is in Ezekiel. He's not talking about religious leaders. He's talking about the kings. In ancient Israel, the king was considered to be a shepherd. The king had the responsibility of seeing to it that everyone under his care was taken care of. And according to the prophet Ezekiel, they were not doing a good job of it. They did not appear to feel any sense of responsibility. However, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, and by the way, don't we get in too much into that sheep good, goats bad, right hand good, left hand bad. Don't read anything into that. But in the parable, it's precisely on this that the disciples and the church, by extension, and us today, will be judged. John E.E. Garberg, also known as Lord Acton, who was a British historian, lived from 1834 to 1902, was best known for the phrase, "All power tends to corrupt, absolute power corrupts absolutely." And also at another time, he said, "Property is not a sacred right. When a rich person becomes poor, there's a misfortune. It's not a moral evil. When a poor person becomes destitute, it's a moral evil teeming with consequences and injuries to society and morality." I will say, as we hear the discussion in Washington about health care, about tax overhaul, I'm aware that it's not just a financial and health issue. It's a moral issue. And if it's passed, we'll have many consequences that are injurious to our country. On this Reign of Christ Sunday, we are reminded that Christ's reign is a model for the disciples of Christ. We need to remember what Jesus said his mission statement was. Remember back when he went to his home synagogue for the first time? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And we can get hints of our reading today from that. We cannot enjoy our privilege without using all that God has given us, our lives, our energy, our resources, our minds, to bring good news to the poor, to bring release to the captives, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. The mandate of the master is also the mandate of the disciples. True Christianity is not a clean and pure faith. Christianity demands that we get down into the muck of life with the people who are stuck there and lift them out, even the stranger. It demands that we get into the mess and work with God by not only helping people with tangible things, but also speaking up for them and with them, giving them a voice. I remember a story that Roy Pateman shared a long time ago. It's called The Tale of the Towel. As a memento of a retreat, a woman attended, she was given a small towel with a hand-stitched design symbolizing Jesus washing the disciples' feet. The towel served mostly as a decoration for a few years until one of her daughters accidentally chose it to clean the car. The commemorative towel has been scrubbed with stain remover and sent to the washer a number of times, but it is indelibly marked by grease and grime. At first, the owner was miffed at having her memento used to wash hubcaps and bumpers. But then she began to see the towel as a picture of herself. And it caused her to ask herself some questions. "When it comes to serving others," she asked, "do I reserve myself for special occasions instead of doing an ordinary job today?" When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, didn't his towel get dirty? What's a towel for? Decoration or demonstration? What's a Christian for? Our own personal salvation or discipleship to serve others? After all, Jesus Jesus did say, when you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. This past Thursday, we celebrated Thanksgiving. We all have a lot to be thankful for. However, there are people waiting on others to help them to feel thankful themselves. I recall a story where the teller of the story was invited to a friend's family for a Christmas dinner. Then he writes, we sat down to a beautiful beef tenderloin after a shrimp cocktail. And the matriarch declared, I can't think of anyone better to share what I have with than my own family. To which the stepson at the table remarked, well, I think Tom might have some suggestions for us. Tom is my best friend's younger brother who works hard in Camden, New Jersey, on low-income housing and other issues vital to the poor. The one who shared that story acknowledged it. I thought, here is the central ethical dilemma of our time. Not good versus evil, but good versus good. When Jesus said to his disciples to leave their families behind and follow him, he didn't say families are a bad thing, or that we should stop having them. But he surely didn't mean that we should take family values as the primary focus of our worship and ethics either. You see, the primary challenge for the disciples of Christ is how do we share what we have with the whole family of God without neglecting those close to us. In fact, I think our struggle is to find appropriate ways of sharing rooted in the joy of God, which is what enables us then to have and to share anything at all, which is the finest gift that we can give to the ones that we love. That sense of joy in giving and sharing. As we begin this holiday season, the primary question we have is the need to reflect, that we need to reflect on, is how can we enjoy what God has given to us as individuals, as a family, as a church, in such a way as to give hope to those who have little or nothing? How can we partner with Jesus? How can we partner with God to wash the lives of those who have been caught in the despair and the muck of life today? And who need to have their fevered brows cooled for their lives tomorrow? That is a question. A question that we are called to ponder as we think about the one